Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, today Sinn Féin's leader Mary Lou McDonald will unveil the party's new international protection policy document, promising that in government Sinn Féin would open formal consultations with local residents and require an official audit of existing capacity of local services before any accommodation centre is opened. This comes as Gardaí revealed components of incendiary devices, including flammable liquids and rags, as well as paint and oil, were discovered while policing disturbances in Coolock at the Crown Paints factory. I'm joined by Louise Byrne, political correspondent with the Irish Mirror. Very good morning to you, Louise.
Good morning.
Government have accused Sinn Féin for a long time of not having a viable policy on migration, something that Sinn Féin has denied. But by launching this policy today, are they admitting that they didn't have a policy, or are they changing the policy that they did have?
It seems to be a little bit of both. And I think the kind of the story of Sinn Féin and immigration has been quite interesting because, like you said, the government has accused Sinn Féin for a long time of not having a policy. It has denied that. But then if you listen to someone like Donnacha O'Leary, who was on Morning Ireland this morning, he said that perhaps the policy wasn't there and it wasn't strong enough. And it's been really interesting to see how the immigration issue has affected Sinn Féin. They, of course, opposed the EU migration pact. And interestingly enough, some of the policies within this, I can already hear government saying later that if they had supported the migration pact, perhaps some of the things that they're calling for, like greater deportation, may have been contained within. But it's been really interesting because I think after the local and European elections, Mary Lou McDonald came out last week or the week before and said, you know, we didn't have our members and our supporters' backs on immigration. We weren't listening to what they were saying. So now they're afterwards, and given that rise support in some instances, not in all instances, but in a lot of instances, that rise in support for independent candidates, it seems that Sinn Féin now are saying that they now realise they need a stricter immigration policy because their messaging has been confusing. Take another example, for instance, Donnacha O'Leary saying a couple of months ago that Sinn Féin were opposed to open borders, when Mary Lou McDonald said in February that Ireland didn't have open borders, there was no such thing. So I think the message has been very muddled, and this is definitely a concerted effort by Sinn Féin to try and make it clearer.
Does this policy chase those lost votes that went to independent, right-wing, anti-immigration candidates?
You can imagine it's certainly trying, but whether it's going to be successful or not, I'm not really sure, because, I mean, in a lot of instances, you would imagine that those votes are gone, that when you look at a lot of the protests, when you hear a lot of protesters speaking, they're talking about Sinn Féin as much as they are talking about the government in some instances. And we've seen Sinn Féin being referred to as traitors. We've seen Mary Lou McDonald referred to as a traitor on some occasions. So you would imagine that those votes may be gone. I think what will also be interesting is to see if this policy will be strong enough and concrete enough to win people back, those kind of middle ground people who aren't necessarily, you know, the hardline anti-immigration people, but the people who we keep hearing about and who have a right to be heard, those with local concerns that are often forgotten in this debate because you have the violence, you have the protests, and so often they are not heard. Okay. So perhaps it might appeal to them, because there is a lot of talk about consultation. So how that will work, I think we'll have to wait and see later on.
Well, exactly, because they are saying that there's going to be consultation with communities and that there's going to be an audit of services in those communities before any international protection candidates are placed in those communities. I'm at a bit of a loss to understand what it is that they're proposing that's different from what government's already doing.
And I would imagine that might be the tone of today. And I think as the day goes on, you might hear government people saying that. Like I said, you might also hear government people saying, well, you've opposed the migration pact, but the reaction to it, I guess, will come. But I think this idea of the consultation, you know, it's being said, and even Mary Lou McDonald was on radio yesterday, that no one has a right to veto. So what does this whole idea of consultation mean? They're saying you can put in submissions. Is that going to delay the process? Is it going to draw it out? And then at the end of the day, you're turning around to people and saying, well, you know, we still need this centre and you don't have a veto. So regardless of all this consultation, we're still going to be using this site, this you know, this factory, whatever it turns out to be. So I think a lot of the details are scant. A lot of the details are unclear at the moment. The policy hasn't been officially launched, but I do think there's going to be quite a lot of questions to Mary Lou McDonald in Dublin this afternoon when this policy is launched officially.
You'd imagine, Louise, that to be meaningful, what they would actually have to do is come up with some kind of a definition of what a stressed local service is, how distressed, how under pressure it has to be before you would consider not moving asylum seeking applicants in there. Because, look, in some places, the idea of local services under stress, we have seen, means, you know, people not having access to a golf club. In other areas, it'll mean the GP lists are full or the schools are full. So do you think that Sinn Féin is going to be able to, you know, set out a meaningful definition of what local services under stress actually means in this policy document?
I think it will have to. And I mean, I think, again, it comes back to local genuine concerns. Things like GP accessibility, things like accessibility to schools, all of these matters, you know, these day-to-day important matters that in some instances are life and death, that's really important. And that is something in a lot of instances people feel the government has overlooked, and perhaps in a lot of instances they have. What's the metric? I guess, again, we don't know. We will hear from Mary Lou McDonald later. Perhaps she'll shed some light on that. But, you know, from my understanding of what the government is doing, there is kind of checks and balances done on all these places. I think a lot of the time where the issue arises, and this is where you have issues, and this is where the government, in all honesty, mess up, is at the speed of which these things are done. They're offered a centre. They need to get people out of City West so they can bring more people in. You've over 2,000 single men living on the streets who are seeking asylum. Is that when these places are offered, they don't have a chance but to take them quickly. And that's where you lead, you know, to this disquiet, to this unhappiness, to these genuine concerns that people feel that they're being hard done by. And it hasn't been perfect. So many communities have felt that they've been left behind, and that's not acceptable on the government's behalf. But whether or not this new Sinn Féin policy of going in, doing an audit, how quickly that can be done, we don't know. And I mean, I think from what we're seeing at the moment, it's not exactly clear. But like I said, Mary Lou McDonald is out in Dublin within the next, say, two and a half hours. So hopefully we do hear more. But from what we know at the moment, it's definitely not clear.
Cabinet meets today. Is there any suggestion that Coolock is going to be high up the agenda?
So the cabinet is actually tomorrow, because it's the summer recess. So we have cabinet a day later. So at the moment, from what I've heard, there's not anything on the agenda. I understand that there's a huge agenda going to cabinet tomorrow. It's the last one of the year. Perhaps there might be discussion. What I do understand is that it will be discussed by the three leaders this evening. That's Taoiseach Simon Harris, Taoiseach Micheál Martin, and the new Green Party leader, Roderick O'Gorman, who is, of course, also the Integration Minister. So they will meet this evening, as the leaders always do before Cabinet. I understand it's on the agenda for them. What we hear from that remains to be seen. We'll wait and see as the day goes on. Whether it's discussed at Cabinet or not tomorrow, we'll have to wait and see. I think there's relief today that there wasn't any more fires there last night, because you were coming off a couple of days where there was three or four instances of burnings blazing, and you can't have that. And there's been a lot of disquiet and a lot of uncertainty about what's going on out there. So hopefully, I think there may be an end in sight, perhaps an end to these fires, an end to the violence. But we'll have to wait and see what the leaders come up with tonight, and perhaps if it is discussed at Cabinet tomorrow by other senior ministers.
Very full agenda at that Cabinet meeting tomorrow, as you're suggesting. Is it likely that they are going to get the issue of RTE's future funding done and dusted and neatly wrapped up with a little bow on top?
Well, my sources tell me it's on the agenda anyway. A few final details still being worked out from what I understand. It would appear, though, that it's not going to be any huge radical change that we see tomorrow from Catherine Martin after that cabinet minister meeting. You know, there's been a lot of disquiet amongst cabinet ministers about what exactly you're going to do. Catherine Martin obviously was in favour of the direct exchequer funding, something that tarnished Jack Chambers, the finance minister, and public expenditure minister Pascal Donoghue were very, very opposed to. And it seems that rather than coming up with a new idea, we're simply sticking to what we have, and we're staying with that TV licence fee model collected by Unpust. It now seems, unless there's a radical change in the next 24 hours and in and around the 160 euro mark. On top of that, government will provide funding to RTE. So it seems like the government has gone, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But unfortunately, as we know, it's very broken, but it just seems that it's not going to be fixed. And this is a solution that it's taken a year to come up with. But again, more details on that tomorrow after the cabinet meeting.
It's also being suggested, isn't it, that RTE would move to multi-annual or five-year budgeting. If that is the case, would it, as a result of this cabinet meeting, come under the audit or the gimlet eye of the Controller and Auditor General?
I think that's inevitable at this stage. That will happen at one stage or another. That has been something that, you know, the reports have recommended, the committee reports have recommended it as well. It is something that the government ministers seem to be backing. It does require legislation. It does require change to the Broadcasting Act. Whether that comes tomorrow, we're not quite sure yet, but you would imagine that would have to. Because don't forget, not only is this the final cabinet meeting of the summer, we don't know how many more cabinet meetings we're actually going to have. We don't know when the next election is going to be. Some are saying March. I think the working assumption of a lot of people is October. So there will be kind of a pressure to clear the decks. Mm-hmm. And you would imagine that remit of the Controller and Auditor General may form part of Catherine Martin's memo tomorrow. But again, we'll have to wait and see what happens at the cabinet meeting.
And the suggestion is also being pushed around, isn't it, about additional charges and TV licences for places like bookies, bars, hotels that have over 15 screens.
Yeah, this is an interesting idea. So I reported by the Sunday Times initially over the weekend that you would have your fee for a set number of screens, and then every screen there afterwards you might have a higher fee, depending on how many screens are in your facility. And that, as you might imagine, hasn't gone down particularly well. I know your own colleague there, Juliet Gash, reporting that, you know, any plans, hoteliers are saying that any plans to hike the TV licence for them, that would be completely unacceptable. And it would be interesting to see how that works, because, you know, who else is going to consider it to be falling under that? Is it just a commercial property with X amount of TVs? Is it a home with a load of TVs? We've heard so often as well that the likes of laptops, likes of iPads, all these kind of devices
nursing
should be
homes,
brought in under
hospitals.
Exactly. And you know, the list can go on and on, and if you let it. So how concrete a plan are we going to see from Catherine Martin tomorrow? Will it be palatable, and will it be enough to get people paying the TV licence fee again, which is the big issue? Because you did have this suggestion for an awfully long time that it might be revenue collected. And obviously, if the revenue commissioners were collecting it, well, then people would be more, there'd be more of an onus on people to pay it. Now, if you're going back and you're sticking with the unpus system, can people still not pay it? Now we're talking about, we're hearing about the idea of tougher penalties, of, you know, really, really making sure that people pay this. How is that going to work? Again, we'll hear tomorrow, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be anything radical, and the only real change will be this idea of the hotels and the bars and the bookies, etc.
Louise Byrne, political correspondent of the Irish Mirror, thank you very much for joining us. Now, if you are among the 27,000 drivers who have been sitting on your driving test on the long finger for over 10 years, well, the next item this morning is going to be of interest to you.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.